As we traveled through the 2016 election cycle, the candidates talked about and stated the positions on a variety of issues seen by the American voters as the most important. Both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton have talked about things like the economy, terrorism, immigration, jobs, education. However, Hillary has also seen fit to place a strong focus on global warming, which, according to most surveys, pretty much the majority of the surveys, that doesn't really rank high among you, the voter, as a priority. So here to explain the financial reason for this is the Executive Director of the Energy Environmental Legal Institute, Craig Richardson. Thanks for being here today, Craig.
Great. Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And the website for the Institute is eelegal.org. Learn more about this issue. There are other points of focus. And when I say that there's a financial reason for the left to be injecting global warming into the campaign conversation, that financial reason pretty much boils down to one person, doesn't it?
Well, one of a few, but certainly as these treasure troves of emails that we've been blessed with who come forward with in explaining how the pay-for-play system works and has worked amongst the elites here over the last 20, 30, 40 years, certainly the climate change issue is one of those, and there are those emails. Clear evidence that a guy in particular, Tom Steyer, has been one of the big contributors to the Democratic Party. He gave $74 million to Senate races in 2014. And this last time around, I think he's up to about $34 million in candidate contributions. And then he bought a plank in the Democratic platform in July, which literally verbatim copied his positions on climate change. And that was adopted by the Democratic platform, which theoretically would become part of Hillary Clinton's administration. So that's where the influence comes in. The payoff is that while Tom Steyer got rich off of investing in coal and other fossil fuels and still owns them overseas in America, surprise, surprise, he's a leading green technology guy. And what is green technology? Well, it's primarily wind and solar, and those gets lots of federal and state, in some cases local subsidies, and it's a pay-for-play system. He supports the politicians. They turn around. They give the companies that he works for and consults with, they give them in the contracts. And suddenly, lo and behold, you have this big, huge windmill in your backyard, and you have no idea how it got there.
And when you look to it, all the money that's been poured in, all the talk, all the projects for alternative energy, it still generates a vast minority of the energy that is needed to be consumed by this country.
Well, and it's even worse because, first of all, as a source itself, which is not, you can figure it out yourself. I mean, when the wind's not blowing, the turbine's not moving, when the cell's the energy. So it's an intermittent power. So even if you were to try to increase the percentage, which they are in these unreachable goals that are 30% by 2030, I think, of your energy grid has to be from these two sources, you still have to have traditional energy sources underneath it unless you want to have a continuing situation with brownouts. And then what makes matters even worse, and they saw this in Europe because they're 5 years ahead of us trying this boondoggle, is that your electricity rate skyrockets because they're so expensive. The system becomes much more expensive to run, much more expensive to operate, and guess who ends up paying that bill?
The taxpayer. When you look at California as a bellwether of what could be for the nation and how in California, on the average, household electricity bills run about 40% higher than the national average. And, I watched the Democratic convention. I heard all the speeches about caring about the poor, the downtrodden, the forgotten, those who live in the shadows, et cetera, et cetera. How can green energy be a benefit to those who are already financially challenged and would, in a vast number of cases, place them above the below the energy poverty line, which is basically if you have to pay more than 10% of your income on energy costs, that's the poverty line as far as energy costs are concerned. And the more that these alternative energy projects are injected or forced upon the American public, the higher the costs. And what are the financially challenged going to do?
Well, and sadly, this isn't without strong evidence already. And we call it the green energy poverty. Europe, as I said, has already done this. There are elderly and those who are not able to afford energy in Europe that literally turn it off and they go out and buy hardback books and burn them in their house because it's cheaper. And in Germany, they referred to their energy bills as a second mortgage or a second rent. We even see green energy poverty in this country, as you referenced California, which again is really just the test market for the whole country. That's why they have that place so locked down. They try these crazy ideas and then they roll them out. But so you have that going on already. You have people literally freezing to death in this country because of green energy poverty. And then the other side of it, I work with a group called the Media Research Council, Brent Bozell's group. They just came out with a documentary called Collateral Damage that went down into southwestern West Virginia and looked at what was once a very thriving, hard-working, scrabble kind of town that is completely decimated. They've taken all of the jobs away. They've taken their pensions are going, they're cratering. They don't have any, they're relying on those jobs and then the taxes from the corporations and the other people there to sustain their schools. It's worse than the Depression. And of course, when you contrast that with a guy like Tom Steyer, who's literally making billions off of this, and then the hypocrisy for him to run around and say he's doing it to save the world, or Bloomberg, who dropped $30 million in one day on the Sierra Club, says he's doing it for his grandchildren, it just makes you want to throw up.
Or Craig Richardson, who is the executive director of the Energy and Environmental Legal Institute on the web, it's eelegal.org. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And to be fair, it's not just Democrats. We have the current governor, Chris Christie. I'm sure the presumed Democratic successor, along with the vastly majority Democratic legislature, are going to continue with Christie's idea of offshore wind turbines along the Jersey Shore, which won't that be great for tourism? And and the fact, too, that the offshore wind turbines are, I believe, 30 to 35% more costly than the on-land turbines.
Well, somebody's making a heavy profit. And as a guy from Massachusetts, I like to say about wind turbines off the coast that if it's not good enough for the Kennedys, it's not good enough for me. So,
yeah.
They fought that tooth and nail when it was going to interrupt their ocean view. But yeah, you're right. Sadly, they use partisanship to keep people divided as this election is showing, so that they're not focusing on the big picture. And the big picture is the money. And I think one of the gift of these emails that are now in the public domain is just so how rampant this pay-for-play system is. And it isn't partisan at all. And I kind of laugh. I say, yeah, they're all part of one party. It's called the Green Party in terms of money. It's all driven by money. And that's what this is all about. And people are suffering, as we just talked about, with energy poverty as a result of it.
And again, this isn't theory, because you have the stats of California, 38% higher than the national average for the kilowatt hour cost. 2014, the state got about 10% of their electricity from wind, another 4% from solar power. 1 million California households in the energy below the energy poverty line. And you look at some bills in Kings County, which is one of the poorest counties in the state of California, $500 per month. Meanwhile, in Mill Valley, which is just north of San Francisco, rather elite area of the state, the average bill for electricity, just over $200.
How that works, huh?
Yeah, just imagine how that falls. And you add to that, Governor Jerry Brown, he's called for the renewable energy mandate to go from 33% to 50%
right,
by 2030.
Which is unattainable, and ultimately this is a resource grab, and this is really just as they move everything towards a centralized resource system. This is part of what they're doing, and it's frightening. People need to wake up. I think they are. I mean, I hope they are.
Well, are they? Because California has also been the home where, I believe, if you're an oil company, you want to do business selling gas in California, might have changed since I heard this stat, but I believe you need 26 different blends to cover the complete state just because of the boutique blends, as they call them. A certain area you need this mixture, and that area you need this mixture. And that's why gas, where in most parts of the country could be between $2 and $2.50, and California is going to be between $4 and $4.50.
Well, I should say, when I say most people are waking up, I mean, no offense to California, I have cousins from there, but I'm not putting a lot of faith in that long term. But I think the rest of the country needs to say we're not going down the road. Like I said, if you want to know where they being the people that these elitists who are running our government and their billionaire friends are trying to get us, then you need to look to California. Because as I said, California is a test ground for this. So the rest of the country needs to stand up and say, we don't want to be California. And I think California is getting the message, because all the good people and all the good corporations and all the productive people have left that state, or are in the process of leaving it.
Just to wrap things up, when you look at the two candidates, obviously we know where Hillary stands is where the money is, not where the logic and the benefits are for the people of America. Has Donald Trump said anything that makes you more confident that he gets it?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, no offense to New Jersey, but as a New England guy, we always hold whatever somebody coming out of New York says with a little bit of a grain of salt. All I can say about everything and all the signals he's made in terms of rolling back the hypocrisy, rolling back the cronyism, taking this pay-for-play system and dismantling it. If everything he says he will do, then I think we're on the right road to recovery.
In addition to the restoration of the coal industry, which at one point was responsible for 50% of the electricity production. So, again, logic and sanity versus theory and pay-to-play, which is, you know, fine, it's a tradition of New Jersey, but it doesn't mean it has to be a tradition for the nation's energy policy. Learn more about this issue and the other points that are within the focus of the Energy and Environmental Legal Institute. It's eelegal.org. We've been joined by their executive director, Craig Richardson. And Craig, thanks for being here today.
Great. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.